Our text today is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and we'll go through verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 13. Jane and I were able to celebrate an anniversary this week, our 44th anniversary. And so I robbed a cradle with that one, I believe. We've spent most of all our lives together. And it's just good when things work out, I can tell you that. It's great to be able to get into these years of your life and, you know, be friends and she knows me better than anybody else, and she helps me. She helps me. She's been a big part of our thoughts in the last many months, and we feel like-minded about things. And so it's just a good blessing. You know, it's good to know that we have people in our life, but it's real good to know we have the Lord in our heart and our life. He's known us even better and longer. And He it is that will be with us, even in our most lonely moments. And so it is. Chapter 4, verse 13. There are several, actually, things we could just preach on right here. The first verse itself, if we were to just stop and talk about it a little bit, is a great verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I can tell you this. This is a great verse. If you were to just stop and think about how to improve your mind and your attitude and how to grow in a healthy way. That's a good verse right there, verse 8. That would be a good place to stop and preach. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me and do, the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, that I speak in respect of want or need, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That would be a good place to stop and think about the hardships we might be facing and the needs we may have, and realize that even in the midst of that, there is a way to be content. I know, he says, how to be abased. I know how to be in a difficult time, place. How to be abased. And I know how to abound. I know when things are really good. I know what that means. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that's what I would like for us to think about this morning. Now, you take the phrase, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, that doesn't mean that we are to do things that are like ridiculous. When I was a kid, you know, Superman was on television. It was a big deal. And I just felt like, I know some of you guys have done the same thing. I just felt like if I really believed, I could just jump off the porch and take off. And I've jumped off my grandma's porch. It was the highest porch around. Many times. And gone straight to the ground. I believed if you ate your spinach, you would just grow some big muscles. I haven't got a muscle yet from it. But the things that we need to do and the things that God will call on us to do, either to endure or to thrive, whatever it is, we can do all those things in Christ who gives us strength. Spiritual fortification is what He gives. There's a hunger and there's a thirst in men and women. An appetite for something. We might work hard and at a hectic pace to achieve it. To attain it. Time magazine quoted one man's hunger for such peace like this. He said, "My life is hectic. I'm running all day, meetings, phone calls, paperwork, appointments. I push myself to the limit, fall in bed exhausted, get up early the next morning to do it all again. My output is tremendous. I'm getting a lot done, but I get this feeling inside sometimes, so what? What am I doing that really counts?" And he had to admit, "I do not know." What are you about? Are you just pushing harder and harder and harder, consuming and going, and just ask yourself, so what? What does it mean? What does it matter? Some of us are seeking happiness in ways that just not fulfilling. We try to find happiness highs. Something in life that will make us happy. And we find that it's temporary and we're just continually chasing happiness highs. Just trying to find something that would help us. And we wind up like that man in the Time magazine, leaping from one activity to another. Sometimes one relationship to another. One church to another. We're looking and looking and looking. And we're just not able to maintain it. It's like, when I was in high school and the football team would be getting ready to play a home game. And they would gather us up into the auditorium and the cheerleaders would be out there cheering and the band would be playing. And the coach would get up and give some kind of rousing speech. And everybody would be getting into it. What they call those pep rallies? Having a pep rally. And while you're in there, man, it's as good as it can get. You know, it's a happy thing. We're all for the team. I went to a school one time. It was my first week in that school. I went to their pep rally at the end of that week. I didn't know anybody. Didn't know anything about their team or nothing. But man, that pep rally was wonderful. But you know, when I walked back out to that car, I was still just as lonely as I was when I walked in there. And whatever the emotions were, they began to fade. And so sometimes we're seeking happiness instead of a meaningful fulfillment of life. A peace, you might call it, in our heart. Been there. We just got through with Christmas and there's billions and billions of dollars spent on Christmas. And we all think if we just get that latest new gadget, whatever it is, I'm so out of it, I don't even know what that gadget is anymore. I'm sure you know what it is. or we go see that latest great movie. Now, I did go see Star Wars. Well, I've got nothing to say about it because you might not have seen it yet. But it was wonderful while I was there. By the time I run through the rain to get back to the car, it was pretty much over. We set goals for ourselves. And we think when we attain them, we will have peace and contentment. But you know, goals just keep rolling around. Most of us agree that trusting Jesus is a good thing. The problem is we just don't do it. We just don't do it. I'm built that way. I can trust Jesus, but I believe if you just hustle fast enough, things will get done. And some things will get done. But you know what? You got to get right back up and hustle the next day just as hard to keep it going. We have the secret to peace in our life. But we just don't use it. We don't use it. Years ago in the New Year's Day Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float was going along and suddenly it just stopped. It sputtered and it stopped. And the whole parade had to wait till somebody ran and got a can of gas and put it back into that float. The amusing thing was that was the Exxon float. And it had stopped. Had all the resources you possibly could want, and the truck was out of gas. So it is with us. When we neglect that power that is there with the Holy Spirit when He's in our life, when we're so ill-focused on Him, and we neglect it, well, we find ourselves just out of gas. How do you know that, Charlie? Well, been there. One fellow went out to start his car and lifted the hood, and he discovered that somebody had stolen his motor. Some of us are wondering, who stole our power with the Lord? Who stole it? We're looking for power with God in all the wrong places. It's in our heart. Back where I'm from, there's a mill village there, and those mill villages are built along rivers. And the reason is because that's where they got their power. They would dam up the river. And that's where they got their power. And down where we lived, it had one of the most beautiful dams, the way it was shaped and the way the water came off of it, in all of Spartanburg County. It's the only one that's like this. It was made this way. And when you look at it, it's just like a symbol of power. The water comes over the top and it's just frothing, and it comes down and shoots down that slide and then splashes out into the rocks down below. And so when you see that, you're thinking, there's a lot of power. But you know what? That is not the power. The power is not what you see. The power is not that frothy water flowing fast and going down. The power comes from down inside, underneath. The turbines that are down in that dam. And that water comes through and forces the power that makes either the electricity, or even before that, it just turned the engines in the mill. The shaft that went through the mill ran right through that. And so the power is unseen. It's not what we see. It's what's in us. It's what's flowing through us. Is the power of God flowing through your life? I remember one time, they've been making electricity with those dams down in Spartanburg County for some time. And there was a couple of mills after a big storm, it just basically, the water stopped flowing. And no water was passing through those, not enough water was passing through those turbines to make it work. And they discovered that upstream, trees had fallen and branches, and actually formed something to an obstacle for the water, and it couldn't flow. Some of us have allowed something to get into our life that stops the flow of God's power in our life. I heard one missionary that was over in an African nation, and when he arrived there, he was assigned to a car. A car was assigned to him anyway, that would not start. And he couldn't figure out how to make it start. So what he would do is every day he would have the children from the nearby school come and push the car until it started. And then during his day, he would always stop on a hill if he could find one. How many of you have done that? I've done it many times. Stopped on a hill, or he'd just leave it running. Well, he did this for 2 years. 2 years. This is the way he got around. Well, then another missionary was assigned to come there, and he was explaining the situation to this missionary. And the missionary opened the hood up, did a little tweaking. He said, "Your cable's loose." Went in, turned the car on, started right up. He just wasn't connected to the power. It was there. It was available. But the connection was missing. Sometimes we're just not allowing ourselves to connect with the Lord and meet with Him. The greatest power on earth is within us, even within our own hearts. It's there. Somebody has come up with a phrase called Satan downers. In other words, things that someone may say to us or things we may say to ourselves that are downers. That are downers. Like, you're a failure. You're a failure. We may have had people say that to us. Or we may have heard someone say that to somebody. You're a failure. That's certainly a message I think the old devil would be glad for us to hear, don't you? It would be a downer. And words like this from God, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I'm not a failure. God don't make trash. A powerful person, an influential person, can say, "You're garbage, you're trash." And it can hurt. You can think it's true. It hits heavy. You just ask some of these nations that's been listening this week. That's Satan's downers. God says, through His Word, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I don't care how big we are, how little we are, how rich or poor. God works in our life. He works in our life. And so, you know, something like "you're going to fail" or "you're no good," "you're a bad seed," something like that. These are messages. Sometimes they come from parents. You know, we sometimes do it ourselves. And so, Ephesians 3 says this, that He would grant you according to His riches and glories to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. It's not just the ability to do something. It's the ability to do whatever it is that God has set before you to do. You can do it. To infuse with strength. That's what the word means, strengthens. To be infused with His strength. That God would put it in us. It's a wonder-working power. We sing that, don't we? The wonder-working power of the blood. John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist denomination, was going home from service one night, and a thief stopped him and robbed him. And he took what little money he had and even took some of the literature that John Wesley was carrying. And as he was leaving, Wesley called out to him. He said, "Stop! I have something more to give to you." And the robber stopped. And Wesley said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." He didn't know. Years later, he was greeting people after a service, and he was approached by a stranger. And he was surprised to learn that this visitor now was a believer in Christ. He was the one who had robbed him years before. And he said to Wesley, he said, "I owe it to you. I owe it all to you." And Wesley said, "Oh no. Not me, but Jesus Christ. He shed His blood for you." That's wonder-working power. Father, thank You for Your power. And Lord, today we just cast this out today. Lord, this message from this one little verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Some of you are feeling like you're at wit's end. You don't know how you're going to go forward. But according to this, if we go forward with faith, we may be facing a darkness we're more scared of than even understanding. If you'll step forward with faith, God's Word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We will make it. Will it be easy? Not always, never. But it'll be worthwhile to walk with the Lord through it. Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you committed your life to Him? Are you keeping that connection with Him? Still the beginning of a new year? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you worshiping? Are you sharing your faith? Are you learning how to love others through the power of the cross? These are questions that the Lord puts to our heart, not me. And so, Lord, we pray that, God, You will be with us now. We have this hymn of invitation. The Holy Spirit, God, if You're working today, would move us, Lord, to make decisions for You. We might indicate it by walking this aisle, or it may be something, God, that we settle right in our heart right now. So, Lord, we leave the matter all to Your hands now. You're the one with the power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn together, and as we sing, I invite you, as the Lord would lead you, if you desire to come, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you want to come to the altar and just bow here, or whatever it is that God has for you today, let's do that right now.
Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. love.